This is a recording of the reminiscences and experiences of Mr. James Seibert. The narrator is Mr. Seibert, and the interviewer is Betty Turnell. This recording is being made at the request of the Decatur Public Library in Decatur, Illinois, in the boardroom of the library on January 31st, 1984. Well, Mr. Seibert, I believe you've lived in Decatur a long time. Were you born here?
No, I wasn't. I was born in Champaign, Illinois.
When did you come to Decatur then? Or maybe you can tell us a little bit about your early life. Why don't you just tell us about your...
Yes, I was born in Champaign, Illinois. I lived the first 24, 25 years on a farm. And in 1927, we moved to Decatur. And we've lived here ever since. Mm-hmm. And within, there was time during the Depression when we moved out of town for mm-hmm. a couple of years. Other than that, I've lived in Decatur since 1927.
Were you born on the farm?
No, I was born in Champaign. But my folks moved on the farm shortly after I was born. And I was born with poor parents. Mm-hmm. They just were farm workers and good Christian people. And early life was pretty hard because mm-hmm. life was hard on the farm mm-hmm. in those days.
Where was this farm?
In Round Mahomet, Illinois. And we moved around, you know, from one place to another. Mm-hmm. My dad would keep a job maybe for 3 or 4 years, and then he'd want to change, and that's the way it went.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I'm the oldest of 6 children. 4 of us are still living.
Did you all have chores that you had to do?
Oh, yes, we did. We had our jobs to do as far back as I can remember. Wood had to be carried in for the stoves, and water had to be carried in because there was no running water, no electricity. As I say, life was pretty hard. We got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and most of us were still working 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night.
Did you have animals you had to take care of?
Oh yes, our farming was all done with horse-drawn implements. People were beginning to experiment with tractors, and they used it for plowing some. But it wasn't until, I would say after World War II, actually, that modern machinery became popular like it is today.
Where did you go to school?
In one-room schools and on the farm.
Can you tell us something about one-room school, how it worked?
Well, the teacher, she taught from first grade through the eighth. And I don't know how she got the job done, but some way she was able to. We had our reading and writing and arithmetic and spelling and history, and that was just about it. And I went through all the eighth grades through one-room schoolhouses. I went to high school in Champaign for mm-hmm. 3 semesters and dropped out.
Mm-hmm. So when she was trying to take care of the children, of course she probably didn't have all children in all grades.
Sometimes, no. But most of the time they were pretty much from 6 to 14 or 15 mm-hmm. years old.
Did she hear one class recite while the others were studying?
Yes, that's right. That's the way it was done.
What did you do in recess time?
Oh, we just played regular games like kids do, and we only had, I it seemed like we only had about a 15-minute rest mm-hmm. recess, mm-hmm. and then at noon, we had an hour's noon for lunch.
Did you take your lunch?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I can't remember not taking my lunch, and most of the time, we was from 1 mile to 2 miles from school. Mm-hmm. And we walked. I don't remember ever my parents taking me to school.
Did the teacher have to build a fire? I suppose there were stoves.
Yes, there was a big, large coal-burning stove in one corner of the room. And I remember that when I got to be about 12, 13, 14 years old, the teacher paid me 10 cents a week to take care of the furnace.
Do you feel that that was a good education?
Well, I think we got as good an education as the kids do now. Of course, we didn't have all the technology that they have to study nowadays, you know. We didn't know anything about computers or things like that that the kids have to these days. Life's much easier.
Mm-hmm. But she did teach you the basics, reading and writing and arithmetic.
Spelling. History. Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any social life at the school?
Yes. I can remember one thing we had was we have suppers. What do you call them?
Box suppers,
yes. And we'd take, the girls would take a lunch and the boys would buy the supper.
Maybe you could explain, of course they'd pack the lunch in a box. Would it be decorated, the box?
Yes, the box would be decorated. And sometimes a girl, would, she had a particular boyfriend, where she would tell him how it was decorated, that he would be sure and get her box.
The boys would bid on the boxes,
right,
and then eat with the girl whose box they
bought. Right. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So you did have some fun.
Oh, yes, we had fun, and as I say, life was hard, but we didn't know anything else, and we were happy.
When you went to Champaign High School, did you feel you could compete with the children from the city schools?
No problem, as I can remember.
So you weren't cheated too much in your country education?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't believe we were. No.
Well, now you're going to move to Decatur, and you said that was about 1925?
1927 in the fall. I had, in 1925, I had left working on the farm and was working for a contractor building bridges in Mahomet, Illinois. And the contractor was from Decatur. And in 1927, he wrote me a letter and wanted me to come to Decatur and work for him. So that's the reason, that's how I come to be in Decatur.
What was Decatur like then? How did it differ from today?
I can remember the streetcars, of course. We lived out just outside the city limits, about half a mile west. And
excuse me, your family moved here?
I and my family, mm-hmm. Yes, my wife. And at that time I had three children, I know. Mm-hmm. And we moved out just west of the city limits. The streetcar came out almost to the city limits within about a block, I think. If I remember, the city limits was at Linden Avenue on West Main. And we just lived about a block on the side of that. The streetcars came out, and if you didn't have a car, well, it was very easy to ride all over town for a nickel, as I remember. And transportation that way was good. Mm-hmm. But
then you had this job with a construction man.
That's right, yes. And I kept that till the Depression hit. Mm-hmm. And then I was laid off.
Tell us about the Depression.
I was laid off, and I believe in 1930. And it was in the fall, and of course in those days the farming was all done by hand, and I was an experienced farmer, so I just moved the family out in the country, and I had a job shucking corn. We shucked corn by hand, and you know, picked it off one ear at a time, threw it in the wagon, and we got maybe 2 or 3 cents a bushel, and if you were good enough, you could shuck 100 bushels a day, or 125. About those days, you could make $2 or $3 a day, which wasn't too bad.
Prices were lower then, though.
Yes, prices, of course, as the Depression deepened, prices kept getting lower. and buy a loaf of bread for a nickel if you could have it, if you had a nickel. Some of us didn't. But somehow, the Lord was able somehow to provide our needs. Mm-hmm. We never were without something to eat and a place, comfortable place to stay due to depression.
Living on a farm, you probably had a garden.
Yes, we had a garden, and my wife canned everything she could for the winter. And I had money enough saved to buy a cow. And I had my own cow, so we had our milk and our vegetables, and we got by.
Well, eventually the depression ended.
Yes, a little story about that. I went to church in Latham, Illinois, the Baptist church there, and times were hard, and the people came out from the church, several of them, and we had a little prayer meeting, so I could find a job. And I got a job when the WPA was on, you know, and they put me to work in a ditch. And I worked in that ditch a day and a half. And at noon, at 12 o'clock, my brother-in-law came up to the bank and wanted to know if I wanted a job in Decatur. Mm-hmm. And I went to Decatur with him, and I got the job. And I never was out of a job from then on, but I worked for these people for two or three years, or a year or so, something like that, and got a job with the express company.
So you worked with the Railway Express as your main work until you retired.
That's right. It seems to me that I began to work for them along about 33, part-time. But in 1935, I was awarded a full-time job. So there was 33 years that I worked for them for full-time pay.
Now, is that company still operating today?
No, they're not. No. I believe their last day of operation was December the 1st, 1975. They took bankrupt, and I had two boys working for them. The youngest boy stayed with them till the last, but the older boy had got a job with the post office in Kokomo, Indiana, and he was fortunate, you know, continue his employment.
Well, now maybe we need to tell what it did, what it was and what it did, what your work was.
The Express Company, it was various jobs. We were privileged to bid on jobs, and when I first went to work for them, it was a 24-hour operation, 7 days a week. And when I started to work for them, we worked 8 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Now, you said jobs, but exactly what was their work?
We had to, in the first place, we worked a lot of trains. People don't realize the number of passenger trains that went through Decatur back in those days. There was times before I went to work for them, they began to eliminate some of the trains, but there was a time when there was over 50 passenger trains that went through Decatur every 24 hours. Mm-hmm. People can't imagine that, see? Mm-hmm. But we had the terminal, of course, the terminal railroad, the electric line. During the day, they run a car every hour.
They sometimes call that the interurban.
The interurban, that's right. And we had service on it, and we had service on all the railroads.
Now, your basic job was, the purpose of the business was to carry freight?
Yes, that's right. That's right. It was an old company. I think it was probably 150 years old when it was dissolved.
Now, they carried all kinds of freight, from small packages to very large ones?
They would give you a price on anything, almost anything. They would, we hauled everything from small packages to all kinds of live animals that the people wanted to ship. I remember one night working as a foreman, and I got a telephone call from Taylorville that they wanted me to be prepared to water a hippopotamus. Well, I didn't know how much water it would take for a hippopotamus. But I just got a hose out there and got ready for it. But that the way, you know, they haul anything.
Was it a circus?
No, just one day going to a zoo somewhere, oh. I suppose.
I'm sure you had other experiences.
Oh, yes. I worked, the most of the time was driving a truck here on the city streets. We had a route set up, and we'd have a certain part of town that we took care of.
Would you pick up packages?
Yes. People would call in and have a package or a trunk or a package or a box or something to ship. We picked it up and took it down to depot, billed it out, and sent it on to its destination.
Did the Railway Express men ride the trains?
Yes, I had that job too, part of the time. I worked on the Banner Blue between Chicago and St. Louis. I'd have to deadhead to St. Louis to start my route.
Now that means?
Just get on a passenger train going down prior to my time of reporting for duty. And then I would go to Chicago, stay all night in there, and the next day come back on the number 10, number 11, and go to St. Louis. And then I'd have to deadhead back to back home, and I'd be home 2 days.
Well, was your job to guard the packages, or
yes,
what?
Yes, that was part of it. We had to be armed. We had to carry a gun. And, of course, we had to make a lot of paperwork, too, had to be done. And they just throw the freight in there in a big pile, and we had to sort it up to various piles of where it was to be distributed.
So
St. Louis.
You rode the freight trains when you were working?
No, they were passenger trains.
Well, I know, but, I mean, where did you have these packages?
Oh, there was express car on a train. There was a special car on there. Sometimes it'd be three or four cars. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have to have a helper, of course, to take care of all those cars.
So you were busy checking and making sure that everything was sorted and ready?
Sorting up the freight and for what went off in Taylorville or Forest or Monticello or wherever it went, and then whatever went into Chicago, we sorted it up too, but if it goes south or north, wherever it went from Chicago.
And you would throw the packages off at the place where you stopped?
That's right. And coming out of Chicago, those stations are real close together. You know, I can't remember them now, but there's Oak Lawn and some of those little towns that are coming out, suburbs of Chicago. They all had papers, and the trains didn't stop there. So you had to have this bundle of papers in the door, and at a certain spot you kicked that package out, on a 60 mile an hour through town, see. And you were pretty busy until you got out up to about 170th Street or somewhere along there before you could settle down and get your paperwork done.
You said you had to carry guns. Did you ever have any need for them?
No, never did. So fortunate, I never had that experience.
There wasn't a big problem then with theft?
No, not a whole lot, no. I guess there was in the early days, but I don't remember having any of our men having any experience at all with robberies or things like that.
Did you change from this traveling job to an office job?
Yes, I worked some around in the little towns as their agent, the manager, and Pena and Taylorville some, and Tuscola. I was an agent over there for a while, and when I retired, I was chief clerk here in Decatur.
Why do you think the business folded?
The elimination of passenger trains, I think, had more to do with it than anything else. They had to, as they eliminated trains, they had to buy trucks and go over the road to transport their stuff, and it was terribly expensive. Mm-hmm. And then we had some competition from United Parcel. Mm-hmm. They were building up pretty fast.
Well, that's quite similar, isn't it?
Yes, it is similar, but they don't have the service that we had. We would pick something up, and it didn't make any difference if it went prepaid or collect. We'd pick it up and collect on the other end when we mm-hmm. delivered it, and the United Parcel don't do that. Everything mm-hmm. has to be prepaid. Mm-hmm. And I believe the packages have to be they'll just pick up at business places and mm-hmm. something like that. You have to have so much business are guaranteed before they'll make pickups. Mm-hmm. Or we would go out and pick up a 5-pound package mm-hmm. if it was necessary, if they wanted it.
Mm-hmm. And they ship by truck now, don't they?
The United Parcel? Mm-hmm. The railway
or truck? Air. I mean, the United Parcel, the difference would be that they don't use trains, right?
Yes, they were all trucking. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, in the 40s, we went Air Express, too.
Mm-hmm.
We had business on the airlines, mm-hmm. and we had business overseas.
Mm-hmm.
We were worldwide. Mm-hmm. It wasn't only just the United States. We were worldwide. We had mm-hmm. offices in every free country in the world.
Mm-hmm. So it was just a change in the times that brought it about.
That's right. Yes, mm-hmm. that's right. Yes.
How do you feel about retirement?
Well, I got pretty jittery the first few months, a year or so, not going to work. But I've been retired now for over 15 years, so I pretty well settled down.
What do you do?
Mostly in the summertime, I garden mm-hmm. and take care of the flowers in the yard. And that's about all.
Mm-hmm.
In the wintertime, I might go back and a little bit. I said, I have 6 children,
mm-hmm.
and they were all born at home. And when Margie was born, that's the girl that works here in the office, you know.
In the library.
That's when we were out on the farm after it was during the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived out about 3 or 4 miles from town. And my wife woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, I better get the doctor. Well, we didn't have a telephone. I went to the neighbors and I called the doctor and I called my mother who lived 6 or 7 miles away. And it was in January, about this time, the 21st of January. And we'd had a January thaw. And a doctor got stuck, and the baby was born, and I delivered the baby. And he didn't get there till about 1.5 or 2 hours after the baby was born. But she seemed to be getting along just as good as any of the rest of them.
So you did all right in your job there.
I guess so. Yeah. Yes.
Well, you must.
Then in 1950 or 52, my wife had cancer, and she died the first of August in 1952. And the kids had all, they were all married at that time except Margie. And then in 1953 I remarried.
Mm-hmm.
And I and my second wife had 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that, I feel that the Lord just been good to me, that's
yeah.
all.
Uh-huh.
My wife is in very poor health.
Oh.
But my health's been pretty
mm-hmm.
good.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you think about Decatur as a city?
Oh, I love Decatur. Mm-hmm. I've lived here long enough that Well, I just think it's a great city, that's all.
I suppose you have grandchildren?
27 of them. Mm-hmm. I had 28, one was killed in an automobile, a trucking accident in 79. Mm-hmm. 27. And I guess about that many great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And expecting a great-great-grandchildren uh-huh. in May.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that these children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to have a good life here?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope so. I'm concerned about the nuclear bomb situation very much. Mm-hmm. I think it could happen. Mm-hmm.
But you yourself have lived through many perilous times, and
that's right.
Things have come out.
That's right. That's right. It seems to me back in the early days, I was born in 1903, the Wright brothers got their plane off the ground just 1 week before I was born. Mm-hmm. So I lived through all the, advancement in the air, and automobiles. I was 6 years old before I rode in an automobile. And I remember that hear an automobile coming. That was very unusual. Those kids would run for the road to see it go by. The radio. I remember the first radio I heard was in Springfield, Illinois. The folks had sent some me over there with some stalk to show it there. And at that tent, the Farm Bureau tent, I heard a radio. And I went home and I told my dad I heard this radio from Chicago, see. He couldn't believe it. Now, he said they had something in a wire somewhere or somewhere. He wouldn't accept it. It seems to me that in those early days, that, of course, we had it hard, as I say, we got up early and we worked late. The women, it seemed to me like, had it harder than the men did, though. I know my mother and my first wife, and we were first married for a few years, had to cook over a wood or coal stove. There was no electricity and no refrigeration and no air conditioning. And they had to carry water in to wash and carry it out after they got through the washing. And I don't know how they done it. Mm-hmm. I still sometimes feel guilty, about the way the women had to work back in those days.
But they didn't know any different, did they?
No, they didn't know any different, but I believe they got old pretty mm-hmm. young. Mm-hmm.
So you do think that people have a better life today?
Oh, certainly do, yes. Mm-hmm. We have things so much easier. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that we take it for granted too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Seibert, you really have had a very full and very exciting and very satisfying life.
That's right. I was 80 years old the day before Christmas.
Well, it's very good to talk to you, and we thank you for sharing your reminiscences with us.
Okay. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Mm-hmm.
You've been listening to the recording of the experiences of Mr. James Seibert, and this is Betty Trunell speaking for the Decatur Public Library.